Verse 8 is the second burial, and it's Deborah, and she is buried at Bethel. So we've got the idols buried at Shechem. Now we're moving down to Beit El, the house of God, and Deborah is going to be buried there. And this is one of these weird, why are we being told this? I mean, first of all, who is Deborah and why should we care? All we are told is that she is the nurse of Rebekah. But this raises a question. If she is the nurse of Rebekah, then by now she is a very, very old lady. What is she doing with Jacob if she's the nurse of his mother's wife? It's a problem. And so people try to harmonize it. And the suggestion is this, that Rebekah, Isaac's wife, had sent Deborah back to Padan Aram, from which was her home, to tell Jacob it's time to come home. Now, the rabbis, they all like to argue about this because that seems a little bit incredulous. The woman's got to be pushing 90 plus, and to send her all the way to Padan Aram seems a bit iffy. Others believe that she had returned to the house of Laban after Isaac was married, and so she would have made that journey as a younger woman, but now she had chosen to leave the house of Laban and come back to the Holy Land with Jacob, which to me seems more likely. And then some say it's a different lady altogether. I personally think it was exactly who the Bible says it was. I think it was the nurse of Rebekah. Just because I don't know how she got there is not relevant. She's there, and it is interesting that the words, this idea of her being buried under this oak of weeping, the rabbis suggest that this is actually a sort of an around-the-block way of saying that Rebekah has died. He said, well, what do you mean by that? Well, this alon bahut, the word bahut, which we translate as the oak of weeping, can also sort of mean a doubling. And so when they read this verse, they see in the words the possibility of a double weeping. Well, why would there be double weeping? And the sages suggest that it is because, in fact, Rebekah has also died. I don't have any idea about that. I'm going to try to come back to this concept next week because of these four significant burial things. We'll talk a little bit more about it. But for right now, she's the second one that is listed. And it's interesting, and I'll mention this just briefly next week, that if you go to Judges chapter 5, that if you go north out of Jerusalem and you go up to Beit El and you keep going, you end up in the area exactly where Deborah, the prophetess, was judging the tribes of Israel. And lo and behold, she was said to be judging them under the palm of Deborah. Now, it's a different type of tree, but I just have to wonder, is it possible that the Deborah who comes forth as a prophetess and a judge who bears the name of this woman, there's a picture there, and we'll try to expand on that a little bit next week. Let me read verses 9 through 15. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. Thus he called him Israel. God also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. The land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you, and I will give to the land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it, and he also poured oil upon it. So Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. God is making the promise to him that he is going to be the God who is going to be with Jacob in his comings and his goings, and that's actually even referenced in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's just go down very quickly through these verses. Verse 10, this is the formal changing of Jacob's name. Now, actually, the first time we find out about this is when he wrestles with this angel in Genesis, I think it was 32, before they cross the river, and after he tries to get the angel to tell him his name, The angel says, no, I'm not going to do that, but your name is about to change. Now, the formal changing takes place here at Bethel when God says, your name is Jacob, but it's going to be Israel. Now, there, if you look at this, it raises a little question, because we don't ever refer to Abram as Abram. Or the scripture doesn't. After God changes his name from Avram to Avraham, from that point on, the scripture never, ever refers to him as Avram again. In fact, in Judaism, it's a no-no to refer to him in that sense. It's like you're robbing him of his destiny. So why is it here that God says, I'm going to change your name to Israel, but throughout the scriptures, he continues to talk about Jacob as well? I think probably it has to do with the fact that Abraham's destiny is immediately changed, but Jacob's destiny, his is ongoing. Because the destiny of Jacob is going to be in his sons and in his daughters. And there's two destinies that are unfolding. There are the natural sons of Jacob, but there is also this called out assembly of Israel. And so whenever you talk about, whenever you see the word, the name Israel, I want to suggest to you, and this is something for, you know, your interpretation skills, that whenever you're reading through that, and it says, and Jacob did this, and then Israel did this. Whenever you see the name Israel being used, you need to turn on your prophecy thinking cap. You need to understand that what's being told to you there is probably a prophetic picture of something that is happening then, but is also going to continue to happen to the sons and daughters of Israel. And if it happened to them, it's also going to happen to Jesus. Because he actually comes and is referred to as Israel. Does that make sense? I think I sort of messed that up. Israel can mean the prince of God or fighter for God. And the name Israel also is a name of the Messiah. So you've got this group of people, and they are a typology of the Messiah. And by the way, I think you see that in the 12 stones that are used to build a Hebrew altar, and the one stone that Jacob raises up and anoints.